This morning, we'll be in chapter 4 of Colossians. And I'll begin by reading it. Short chapter, but still got some meat in it. Verse 1, Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Continue in prayer and watch. I can't read that word there. Something faded on it. Okay, same. I couldn't see that first letter. It was marked over. Okay, read it again. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. With all prayer also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to you ought to answer every man. All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant to the Lord, whom I have sent to you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts. With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, they shall make known unto you all things which are done here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, salutes you, and Marcus, Marcus's sister's son, to Barnabas, touching whom you received commandments, if he come to you, receive him. And Jesus, which is called Justice, who are of the circumcision, these only are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, salutes you, always laboring fervently for you in prayer, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him record that he has a great zeal for you, and them that are in Laodicea, and them that are in Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Salute the brethren which are in Laodicea and Nymphis, and the church which is in his house. And when this epistle is read among you, cause it that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. I say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that you fulfill it. The salutation by the hands of me, Paul, remember my bonds. Grace be with you. Amen. It's hard to read that King James language sometimes. It's a struggle. Okay, back to the first verse. Masters, give to your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that you also have a master in the realm of the spirit, or the spirit realm. Okay? It's not about heaven. It's about the realm of the spirit. God doesn't dwell, like they want to say, up in heaven somewhere. He dwells in the realm of the spirit. And it says, continue in prayer, or be constantly and diligently in prayer or worship, and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Okay? With all, or at the same time, praying also concerning us, that God would open to us a door of utterance. This word utterance has a different meaning than what most people would say, just words, okay?
Mine says, open to us a door for the word.
Okay, and that's what it would be, closer rendering than what this is. That word utterance right there is the word logos, okay? Now, it says an utterance to speak. Well, the next word, speak, is those both words should have come out about the same thing. That word speak right there is leo. And it means to speak, you know. So give him a place to speak, you know, is what it should have been there. That's correct. But still, they use the word logos. Logos means what? It's the spiritual word of God. It's the utterance of God, not the utterance that they've given to it, just a plain utterance. Okay, they left out the point that it was a divine word that they should have been speaking. It says, to speak the mystery of Christ, through which I am also in bonds. See? So he's also bound. Paul was bound for speaking what?
The truth.
The mysteries of Christ. See? Nobody wants to hear it. Do you think it's any different today? They killed Jesus for speaking it. They put Paul in jail for speaking it. Do you think they're going to like me for speaking it? That'd be kind of facetious, wouldn't it? And then he says in verse 4, in order that I, cross out that word may because it's not there, they added that one, in order that I make it apparent as I should speak. Okay. So I make it apparent that's what I should be speaking. It's the truth. Verse 5 goes on and says, walk in wisdom. And literally the word is live or conduct yourself in wisdom. Conduct yourself in wisdom toward them that are without. So people that have no knowledge of what we're talking about, should we be belittling them? No. They're ignorant. And see, ignorance is not a bad word. Ignorance is they just don't have enough information to make the right decision. So as we grow, and just like Ben, he's always reading. Ben probably has, for his age, far superior understanding of language than most children your age. Wouldn't you agree? You understand when somebody says something because you've read so much, your mind has expanded and picked up the meanings of those words. Most people don't know what the words mean. They just say them. And see, that's ignorance. That don't mean they're bad people. Don't mean they're stupid. Just means they haven't learned yet. You have. That's the only difference, right? See? So as we get older, we've learned more and we expand our mind to where we can understand things. But live or conduct yourself in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. So it says, what good's it doing talking and sitting there and belittling somebody who doesn't have the understanding to even comprehend what you're saying? There's no point in it. So leave it alone. Let your speech, now that word speech right there is logos. See, they use these words any way they want to use them. So he's saying, let your spiritual words at all times it should be within grace. Your word should at all times be in grace. And we know grace is not the little acrostic that the church teaches, God's riches at Christ's expense. It's the word actually means a divine influence in your heart. So what God has influenced in your thinking process, let that reflect out into your lifestyle. That's what's going to happen. Okay? That's what it's supposed to be doing. And seasoned with salt. What is salt?
Preserve.
Absolutely. So if grace is seasoned with salt, what is it talking about? It's preserving the truth. How do you preserve the truth?
You live it.
There you go. And you pass it on to somebody else. Okay? And preserving the truth is not necessarily preaching it somebody. It's living it, right? You live it, what God has given you, and show it to other people, you'll know what's going on, and they will too, won't they? Everybody will know. You don't have to get out there on the corner with a bullhorn screaming at people like some of them do. Don't have to. That you, cross out that word may, because it's a doubt word and it's not in the writings, it's added. That you know how you should answer everyone. Okay? How should you answer everyone? If you walk or live in wisdom of God, you will know how to respond to everyone, whether they're an idiot that doesn't understand anything, have no capacity, don't have any desire, or whether someone is truly seeking. You'll still have the way to answer everybody if you walk in that wisdom God's given you. Because He put it in our hearts, in our minds, before the foundation of the world. He wrote it in there. It's in there, and if we tap into that, we can give the answers we need to give. They're there. It's not that you're going to learn anything. You already know it. You just don't know how much you know. We're learning every day. And Paul goes on and says, all my state or my affairs shall Tychicus declare to you. Okay? And his name means fortunate. Who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and a co-slave, fellow servant, co-slave in the Lord. So Paul didn't see him as anything less than he was. And see, today we have a problem with everybody trying to say, well, I'm the preacher, and everybody other than the preacher is not as good as I am. Here's the great apostle Paul saying, he's a co-laborer with me. He's a co-slave. We're both bound in this thing together. It's not about one person being superior to another person. It's about we're all going the same direction. It's kind of like in sports, it's a teamwork. We're supposed to be working together to get the thing accomplished.
Didn't Jesus say servant of all?
The servant among you will be the one who is servant, and greatest among you shall be your servant.
Uh-huh.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. Verse 8, who I have sent to you for the same purpose, in order that he, cross out that word might, in order that he know your estate and comfort your hearts or your what?
Mind.
Your minds. See? My heart down here, this thing down in my chest that pumps blood, it doesn't get comforted. It works all the time. Day and night, there's no relief for it, is there? Mm-hmm. However, as long as you're living, that thing's pumping and beating. Sometimes it pumps more, sometimes less, whatever the situation. But it's about the comfort up here.
It's involuntary.
Yeah, yeah. It's an involuntary response. It just goes on and does it. Thank God it's involuntary.
You don't have to think about it.
No, it just takes care of itself. So, and this blood pump don't know what grace is all about anyway, or comfort or peace. Okay, verse 9. With Onesimus, now his name means profitable or useful. He's a faithful and beloved brother who is one of you, one from out of you. They shall make known to you all things which are done here. And our Aristarchus, my fellow servant, salutes you. His name means what? The best ruler. Okay? My fellow servant salutes you. And Marcus, and that's just Mark, it should say. Mark's sister's son should be Mark's cousin. Okay? To Barnabas, and his name means son of rest, touching or concerning whom you received commandments. He's saying you already received things about him. If he comes to you, receive him. He said, you know, at one time, some of these people that supported Paul left Paul, didn't they? Mm-hmm. When he got in trouble, they all bailed out on him. But he didn't hold against them, did he?
Showing some reconciliation.
Sure it is. Showing grace and mercy to everybody. Then, hey, you got to do what you got to do. And if they hadn't made the mistake, you think they'd ever felt bad about what they did? But they did.
Yeah,
they come back.
Also showing some maturity.
Sure.
If you give immaturity, you don't.
Yeah. No, you'd never forgave. You'd still be condemning them for it. Verse 11, and Jesus, which is called justice or just, who are of the circumcision or the Jews' religion, you know, these are my fellow workers, or only are my fellow workers, into the kingdom of God, which has been or has become a comfort or relief to me. So he's got some people that's helping him out, taking the load off. Okay? Everybody needs help once in a while. One of the hardest things to come to, especially as a male in our society, is come to a place where you realize you can't do it by yourself. To be able to accept the fact that I need help. You know? And I've had to come to that. Everybody's going to sooner or later. We can't do it forever, can we? There's another generation behind us of younger people that need to help. And we need to let them help. And that's why you hear about old people all the time getting up on ladders and falling off and breaking hips and legs and all that stuff. You know, no, there's younger people that need to make a living, let them do their thing and leave it alone. I've had to come to that. That's just the way it is. So I can deal with whatever he gives me. I ain't got any choice. Okay, it's not my choice anyway. Yeah. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant or a bond slave of Christ, salutes you, always laboring fervently for you in the prayers, in order that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. So, I mean, how much more could you ask? He said, this guy is a fellow servant. And all he's going to do is help you stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. How much more could someone do to help you come to your completion? That's a tremendous statement for him. Verse 13, because I bear him record that he has a great zeal. And the word zeal really doesn't... What does zeal mean to most people?
Passion.
Huh?
Like a passion for something.
Mm-hmm. And usually it's a good thing, you know. But the word literally means anguish. He has a great anguish. So when he had a zeal, he's saying, what it's really saying is he had a great anguish. He had a great burden for what they were doing. Okay? That he has a great burden for you, concerning you, and the ones that are in Laodicea, and them in Hierapolis. Okay? Hierapolis means the holy city. But I want to go off track here now to something because of Laodicea. And when we read this thing about Laodicea, what does it mean to you? Not just what the name means, but what does this Laodicea represent? This all in symbolism. Okay.
They have a false truth or whatever.
Well, turn to Revelation 3, I think about 13 would be a good place to start. 3:13 of Revelation, yeah. That'll work. I'll wait for you. We're not in a hurry. Everybody there? Okay. It says, first of all, it says, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Now, if you still think that he's talking about buildings and organizations, you missed it. What's the Spirit? Who does the Spirit speak to? There you go. There you go. Individuals. That's the ones that are called out. Okay? He's speaking to the ones that's called out. And to the angel of the church of Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful, the witness, the beginning of the creation of God. What was the beginning of the creation of God?
First fruit, wasn't it?
Absolutely. It was the first fruit. Not Adam.
It wasn't in the beginning. It was...
In the beginning God created heaven and earth, which is the perfect God-man.
That was... I forgot the word. The Hebrew word. For in the beginning.
The Reshith.
Yeah, Reshith.
Yeah. Sorry. I understand. That's all right.
In my Kindle, the definition when I put on the Odyssey, it says half-hearted or indifferent, especially with respect in religion or politics.
Absolutely. That's what Laodicea talks about. It's talking about the people that are walking through the system today, this man's system about religion, half-heartedly not accomplishing anything. Anybody that half-heartedly does any kind of job, what are they doing for their employer? They're hurting their employer. They're hurting themselves. But anyway, he says that he's the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither hot nor cold. There's that halfway doing it, isn't it?
Yeah.
I wish you were cold or hot, is what it should say. I wish you was one way or the other. You know, you're in between, you're in the middle. So because you are lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will spew you out of my mouth or vomit you. You know what that tells me? You're not usable.
Yeah.
You're not usable. He said, I can use the hot or cold ones, but them lukewarm ones, they got no purpose. Okay? Because you said, I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knoweth not that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel you, or I advise you, to buy of me gold. And that's the nature of God, because they don't act in the nature of God. They're living in a natural man. Tried or refined in the fire, okay, or from the fire, right? In order that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, okay, he wants you to get this white raiment. What is white raiment? It's his righteousness. In order that you may be clothed and the shame of your nakedness does not appear, and anoint your eyes That's your vision. Let me take you back to Proverbs 20, hold that place, Proverbs 29:18, and show you something. Proverbs 29:18. One more page. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people what?
Perish.
Or, and he that keeps the law, happy is he. We know that's just a symbol of the Word of God, isn't it? If you keep what he said, okay? And when it says this, let me read this again on 18. There, where there is no vision or revelation, the people perish or show a lack of restraint. If they have no knowledge, just like these lukewarm ones we're talking about here, these Laodiceans, that's what he's assuming, or he's assimilating the Laodiceans with lukewarm people that are not interested whether God's there or not, don't really care, they're just playing a game. He said, I'd rather you say that God don't exist than play the game in the middle and act like one thing you're not. Act like, say something and act some other way. Okay? Verse 19, it goes, as many as I love, and here's a good one, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. Change the way you think. Metanoia. Okay. Hebrews 12:6 says the same thing. Those the sons that God loves, he chastens or corrects. Okay? He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him. Okay? And that with him literally is the word meta, which means in the midst. In the midst of you. And that's in your spirit. Okay? And he in the midst of me. Do you notice anything about that verse? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Who's talking? Okay. Where's God? No. He's outside of you. He's knocking on the door. You haven't let him in yet. I'm not talking about being saved or anything. You haven't come to the consciousness that he's already there. You still see God being out there somewhere.
Wow, yeah.
See, he's standing there. Let me in. Let me in. He's outside. See, you still got him as an outsider in your thought process.
In your thought process.
Yeah, in your thought process. Matthew 5:18-19. Until the concept changes of heaven and earth, you know, no jot, not one jot or tittle in any way pass from the law. See? So that's the same concept right here. They still see him as being external. And look at 21. To him that overcomes will I give to sit in the midst of me, in my spirit, in my throne, or my place ruled. Where is that? Where's his place of rule?
In your mind.
It's your spirit inside of you. Even as I overcame and am set down in the midst of my Father in his place ruled, or his spirit. He said, I and the Father are what?
One.
And he said, Father, make them one with me as I am one with you. And then there's that famous line there at the end. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the called out people. Okay? I just had to go there. That just kicked in me. Okay? Where are we at in Colossians now? We're almost finished, aren't we?
You went 13. That's probably when I'm later to see
it. Okay. Because we did the Laodicea. Oh, we did that. Okay, we finished that one. Luke, verse 14, which means light giver or light giving. The beloved physician and Demas, which means popular, greet you. Okay? When he says Luke was a light giving, what do you think he's talking about?
Understanding light?
Enlightenment. You know, the word, he was giving you things. They note him as being a physician, but yet he was a man of the word. They just didn't, that people don't see that he gives light. His name is mentioned for that reason. It's not about giving you medicine, making you better, but he's giving you the truth. Yep. Mm-hmm. 15 says, salute the brethren which are in Laodicea and Nymphas. Nymphas is means a bridegroom, okay? And the church, the ecclesia, which is in his house. And when this epistle or this written message is read among you, cause that it be read also to the church of Laodiceans, and that you likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. So there was another epistle, which I don't know where that one is. I don't know anything about it, but there's an epistle that he wrote when he was there to other people. So I'd like to see that sometime. I may see if I can locate that. I'll have to get on my horse and ride to find that one probably. Verse 17, and say to Archippus, master of the horse. What do you think he's talking about?
Overcome.
Well, how about he's overcome the beast nature? The horse is the beast nature. So he's mastered his self. Okay? He's got himself in control. Take, and the word take is literally discern or perceive the ministry which you have received in the Lord. So he said, perceive, understand, or discern what God has given you to do. Everyone has not got the same thing. You're not supposed to look at somebody and see what they're doing and say, oh, I'd like to do that. You're supposed to discern what God has asked you to do in your lifetime. And it doesn't make any difference if he's only called you to give somebody a drink of water in the name of a prophet. You've got a prophet's reward, right? It doesn't make any difference. Just whatever he wants you to do. But it's up to you to discern that, not for somebody else to tell you what it is. I know when I first began in church, I had all kinds of people tell me where I should be and what I should do and what I should say. And they all had it all figured out. But you know what I found out? They didn't. I had to find it within myself. And you'll have no confidence about who you are until you find it out yourself. I got this little thing in the front of my Bible, and I love it. Let me find it. Oh, there it is. I keep it close to the front, because every time I pick it up, I'll look at it. It says, no one can teach me who I am. You may describe a part of me, but who I am is something I have to remember myself. I got that when I read John 14:26. Because he said, I'm going to send you a comforter who will call all things to remembrance, whatever I've said to you. See? So it's an individual thing, and people can't get it. Man, that's powerful to understand that what people think about me is not important. It's what did God say about me. Best thing I can say is he told me he loved me. Changed the whole picture. Changed the whole picture. Anyway, he said, to perceive or discern this ministry which you've received of the Lord in order that you fulfill it or complete it. See? It's not to say, look what I got this kind of ministry. Like these people are, I got a healing ministry, I got this kind of ministry, I got this kind of ministry. That ain't got anything to do with it. That's people proclaiming themselves. That's pride and arrogance. There's no place for that in the kingdom of God. Flesh and blood does not inherit the kingdom, does it? Flesh being this thing right between our ears. There's no place for that thing up there in the kingdom of God. It's about the Spirit of God, nothing else. And the Spirit of God is the Spirit of love, bottom line. So all this pride and arrogance, it has nothing to do with God. You should have enough discernment to look at that and just say, that's not God, and walk away. You know, just walk in peace and leave. Verse 18, the salutation by the hand of me, Paul, remember my bonds. Grace be with you, amen. No, grace. He's saying that divine influence of God in your mind and a reflection in your lifetime, the word with there is meta, in the midst of you. He said that grace is in the midst of you. All you've got to do is visualize it, see it, connect with it, and release it. Just let it be. You don't have to work it up. You don't have to make anything. You don't have to try to hustle anything. All you got to do is be who you be. And let God do whatever he wants to do. End of story right there.